Good morning, Rabose. Thank you for joining us for our Sunday morning Shir, Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer. This morning, we are going to continue learning. We're in Simin Vav, and we're going to learn Sif Ches, which is the discussion of who a Kohen is allowed to marry. And let me share the screen. Okay, here we go. So last time we learned the Mishnah in Sif Mishnah Yevamis, who talked about who a zona is. A zona is defined. A zona to whom a kohen is not permitted to marry is defined by three terms, as the Mishnah says: either a giores, a mishuchreres, or a woman who had a beilas znus. So, a giores, I believe we spoke about last time. Mishuchreres, we're not going to speak about because there are not so many freed slaves nowadays. And a woman who had a bilas nus, we're going to have to define. That's going to be the definition of a zona. So, let's see, as the Rambam, this is the Rambam now, which is what we're up to. The Rambam in, where is this Rambam? The Rambam in Yisri Bia Perek Yud Ches Halacha Gimel tells us the following rules regarding a Kohen. V'chein ha-giyores ha-mishachreres. Now, if you have a woman who is megayer, and I told you that oftentimes you have a situation where there's a family that parents are megayer, father is megayer, woman, mother is megayer, and they're megayer their children while the children are ketanim. So if, let's say, you have a person who's megayer, a ketana, that ketana, she became a giores, let's say, when she was 2 years old, when she was 1 year old, which the Bezin can do and does do at times. Could that young lady, who was a Gioris at a very young age, could she marry a Kohen when she gets older? So I told you the story last week about when I set up my student with my Talmidah, and without realizing that she was a Gioris, I forgot and I messed up because he was a Kohen. So the case actually was that she was Megayer as a Ketana. That was really this case. V'chein ha-Gioris me-shuchras, afil nisgayer v'nishtachara, p'chus mipas sholashonim. Even though when she became a Gioris, she was before 3 years old, and therefore any Bia that might have happened, God forbid, before in her infancy, was when she was not Ru'uya L'Bia, and therefore it wasn't called a Bia. Nevertheless, Ho'el V'eino Bas Yisrael, since she wasn't born Jewish, a girl who is not born Jewish, Harezu Zona, she is objectively called a Zona, she's not called a prostitute. Don't use the word prozona to mean prostitute. It means zona is a zona. It's a technical halachic term that a girl who's not born Jewish is defined by. And such a girl who's not born Jewish is asur l'kohen. And therefore, concludes the Rambam. Mikan. Amru, the Chachamim say the following. Akum, agoy, o nosun, o mamzir, o geramoni, o moavi, o mitzri, v'edomi, rishon, sheni, o ptu adaka, o chroshavcha, o cholol. Shabal HaYehudis, let's say you have a girl who lived with somebody whom she's not allowed to live with. Any of many varieties of a man. Either she lived with a Gentile, or she lived with a Mamzer, or she lived with a ger from Amon Umoav, she's not supposed to marry, or she married a Pitzua, she lived with a Pitzua Dak or a Kreshavcha, and all those people she's not allowed to marry, these are all examples of psule bia. Such a union between this girl and this prohibited man all make her into a zona. Again, a zona is defined by anybody who had this bia asura, and therefore, if she ever later in her life wants to marry a kohen, she will be off limits to marry that kohen, nifsla l'kohuna. And, which we're not, the point that we won't speak about, is what happens if, in the same way that she can't marry a Kohen, let's say she herself is a Kohenes, a Bas Kohen, and was eating Truma, once she lives with this prohibited, spouse or partner, then she'll also become off-limits from eating Truma anymore. Similarly, one last case, let's say you have a Yavama. We know that a Yavama has to only marry the Yavam, or Gechalitza. And she married some other man in the interim, she had be with some other man. She also will become a status of a Zona and be Aser to ever marry a Kohen. V'chein Yavama Shabala Hazar, Asa a Zona. And one last point, what about an islandess? An islandess is not considered a zona. If you recall last week, we had a discussion whether an islandess who can't bear children, who is a sterile, a woman who's sterile, biologically sterile, we questioned whether she would be considered a zona or not, and the Rambam concludes, no, that's not a zona. A zona is a Jewish girl who had bia with somebody whom she wasn't allowed to have bia with. And that union asers her forevermore to marry a Kohen. Fine. And now we can see all this in the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, we're in Sif Ches. And we're going to go through all these halachas, and then we'll finish with this section. Ezo hizona. Who's a zona who a Kohen is not allowed to marry? Anyone who's Eino Bas Yisrael. A girl who wasn't born Jewish. Or, oh, Bas Yisrael shenivla la'adam sheyesrul inaselo. Any girl who had be at any point in her life with a man whom she's not allowed to marry, but only if the nature of that prohibition of the man whom she had relations with was an Isser HaShavel HaKol, was something that was an across-the-board Isser. What's an example of an Isser that's Shavel HaKol? An Isser that's Shavel HaKol is like Ptsua Daka, that everyone's Isser to marry such a person. If you have a situation where, we'll have to see if there are some examples, if it's an Isser that's not Shavel HaKol. Alternatively, continues the Shulchan Aruch, Osh Nivala L'Cholol, Afal Pishi Muteres Inaselo. If she marries, let's say there was a Kohen who lost his kahuna, meaning a Kohen who was the product of a grusha, his father, the Kohen, married a grusha, and the for the child is a chalal, and this girl married the chalal or had relations with the chalal, this woman now, just like she, the chalal is off limit, is no longer a Kohen, so too this woman becomes usher to marry a Kohen subsequently. So if you have a guy who's a chalal, if he has beer with a woman, it's not, there's nothing usher about it. Let's say you have a guy. Father, his last name is Cohn. His father was Mr. Cohn, the previous senior, and he's Mr. Cohn Jr. The father, Mr. Cohn, wasn't religious and married a grusha. They had a child, and the child is Mr. Cohn Jr., who's a chalal, who's not a Kohen. Mr. Cohn Jr. marries a nice girl, Jewish girl, who he's allowed to marry. He doesn't have a halacha of a Kohen. He's a chalal. And she has nothing to do with kuna. She's just marrying a guy, and she's allowed to marry this guy. This woman, once she married this guy who's a chalal, if the husband dies, for example, gets hit by a car, now she wants to get married a second time, she will not be able to marry a Kohen. Why? Because she had lived with a chalal. Was there anything wrong with her living with a chalal in that first marriage? No. She's allowed to marry that first chalal. Mutaras li naselo. Nevertheless, since she lived with a chalal, she's not going to be able to marry a Kohen afterwards. Fine. That is this halach in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's continue the Shulchan Aruch. What about if a woman lived with an animal? Is she going to be off limits from marrying a Kohen? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Lefikach hanirvas lebehema, afal pishi beskila, it's pretty intense. She's going to get skila for that terrible, abominable act. Nevertheless, lo naase zona, that doesn't make her into this halachic definition of a zona, velonif slalakuna, and she's going to be permitted to marry a Kohen. Shalonif elas laadam, she wasn't with a man. The only thing that makes a woman off limits for a Kohen is she's with a man who's usher to her, as we define that makes her to a zona. And if she lives with an animal, it's a terrible thing, and she'll get skila for it, but she doesn't become a zohar. Now, the shayla that I'm sure you're all wondering about, you know, it happens all the time, and you probably are wondering, is that going to make her into a zona? Could she marry a Kohen or not? What happens if she had bia with a demon or a shade or some spirit? I'm sure this happens all the time. You probably have this come across your desk as often as it comes across my desk. I get this shy like every Monday and Thursday. V'chein hanefeles l'ruach o l'shade. Afal pisha repar of rav. Even though they can reproduce. Eina asru l'baylo baruch Hashem. The Beis Shul comes out the big kula. That if a woman would have had bia with a shade or a demon, then she is not, she could still marry a Kohen, Baruch Hashem. So all those Kohanim out there, if your wife was once with a Shade or a Ruach, you could stay married. No, don't worry about it. Fine. Yes, sir.
Is
You're asking a great question. You say there should be a kal v'chomer if you can't have bia. If being with a person you're not allowed to have bia with is a los asay, and being with an animal is skila, so certainly she should make a zona. I think that's exactly the point of the Shulchan Aruch here, that the definition of zona is this very specifically defined. There's no room for kal v'chomers because we have to define what the word means. The word zona doesn't mean anyone who had a bia that the Torah prohibits. It's very specified. It's any human being. Right? As opposed to a ruach, a shade, an animal. And a human being who the Torah says you can't marry. So it's a very specific definition that doesn't really leave room for kal v'chomer because it's just, no, that wouldn't be a woman who had a bia with a behemah. You could tell me as to how terrible it is and how much skila she, we could kill it 12 times. But that doesn't make her a zona. We have to define the word zona. The word zona is not defined. A woman does become a zona. You can't become a zona through a kal v'chomer. We could punish you through a kal v'chomer, maybe, maybe not, in Anshman Adin, but you can't become a zona through a kal v'chomer. The zona is whatever the definition of zona is, and apparently Chazal said that's not included. Bia with a bestiality is not included in the definition of what defines a zona. Oh. And, but similar to what you just pointed out is the following point, and this is a very, very, very common shaila. Let's say you have a guy who wasn't religious. Let me rephrase it. You have a woman who wasn't religious. And she married she was with a Jewish man. Maybe she was married to a Jewish man. Maybe she wasn't married to a Jewish man. But she wasn't Shomer Nida. She was with a Jewish man while she was a Nida. Now we know that she gets Karis for that. That's more than a Ptua Daka who only gets a Lav. Or an Ammoni or Moavi or an Edomi or Mitzri who only get a Lav. If she was a Nida and she had bia with somebody, she gets Karis, does she become a Zona and is therefore off limits to ever marry a Kohen? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no, that's not a problem. Habal HaNida, Afal Pishi B'Karis, Lo Naase Zona, V'lo Nifsal Lakuna. She could still marry a Kohen, even though she had a bia as a Nida. Why? Again, because the definition of a Nida is that you have to be somebody whom you're usher to marry. Shereina asur linasilo. A man's allowed to marry Anida. He can't have bia with her while she happens to be Anida, but he's allowed to marry Anida. There's the marriage is a permitted marriage, and therefore such a union, if that woman was with a man while she was Anida, she's not considered a zona thereby, and therefore if this. Let's say she had a marriage. Let's say she was with a she married her husband, and she wasn't religious, and she was lived with him while she was in Eden. Then they became Balei Tshuva, and her husband died, and she now wants to marry a Kohen. She can marry a Kohen, no problem. She can marry a Kohen. Oh, she was in Eden. She did a Biasura. That doesn't make a person a Zona because it was a permitted marriage. Oh, what happens if you have a woman who is engaged in premarital relations? Does that render her a zona? If you have an irreligious woman, girl on a college campus, and she was with men, Jewish men. Because if it's a non-Jewish man we saw before, then she does have a zona. But if she was with Jewish men, but she was a penuya, she we call her a prostitute, call her a harlot. That's a zona, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. Ken habal ha-penuya, afilu haisa kadesha shefkira atzma. Even if she literally made herself available, even if she was mamash a prostitute, and she therefore would get malchus for that, nevertheless, for the halacha of, even though she's a kadesha, she's not a zona. Here is where we typically don't translate the psukim correctly, and we assume that the word zona means prostitute. That is not correct. Here we have the English definition of a prostitute, a kadesha, and the Shulchan Aruch is telling us that does not fulfill the requirement of zona that would make a woman off limits from marrying a Kohen. And therefore, even if this woman was involved in those kinds of interactions as a pnuya, as a single girl, and even as a full-fledged prostitute, yes, she'll get malchus for those activities, but lo nase zona v'lo nifsla mikuhuna. Why? Because there was no bia with somebody who was usher for her to marry. She was a single girl and he was a single guy. Or maybe even a married guy, that doesn't make her usher. Those unions were not ones that would be prohibited to marry. Shereina asura linaselo, and therefore that person would not be a zona and would be permitted to still marry a kohen. Okay. Now, the Shulchan Aruch will summarize and say when is a woman a zona and therefore off limits from a kohen. Avahaniv eles leechad meyisturi lavin hashavin bakol. She lives with a man whom no Jew is allowed to live with. Again, with like a mamzer or a nasin or a mamzer or a mitzri, an adomi or a ptudaka. Ve'en amiyuchades bekonim amiyisturi asay. What's that? Avahaniv leechad meyisturi lavin hashavin bakol. Even if it's not a los asay, but it's an asay that she can't marry this person. And certainly, let's say a woman had relations with her brother-in-law, God forbid, right? That's an erva. Her brother-in-law, her father-in-law, her son-in-law, her brother, God forbid. She, of course, will become a zona. If she was ever with a Gentile, she becomes a zona thereby. And the kohen will not be allowed to marry her. I'm sorry, since she can't marry the Oved Kochavim, or the Eved, or her brother, or her father-in-law, or any of these other people, that is what a zona is. Fine. So anyone who had, any woman who had a Bia Asura of this sort, she's a zona, she can't marry a kohen. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, there's a long sif. V'chein, ha-giores v'ha-mishuchereres. Let's say you had a Gioris who was Megayer. And even if she was Megayer at a very young age, even before she was able to have Bia, nevertheless, since she was not born a Jewess, she was not born a Jewish girl, that woman by definition is defined as a Zona, and therefore she's a Surah LaKohen. And finally, we know that a Yavama can only marry a Yavam. And let's say she married some guy who's not her Yavam, that's a Zar. Also, that marriage, that Yibia, is a Bia that she's not allowed to marry such a person, and therefore would make her into a Zona. She cannot marry a Kohen in the future. And then we're not going to, there's a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll skip that for now. Comes the Bishmuel and just clarifies a little bit. When we talk about a giyores, let's try to understand more carefully what is it about a giyores that makes her off limits? Why can a kohen not marry any giyores under any condition? Says the Beis Shmuel, Hine Rashi Pirisham, Da'arit Nivla La'akam. The only giyores that's really off limits for the kohen to marry is a giyores who at one point had lived with a guy, meaning when she was a Gentile, she had relations with a Gentile man, and that makes her off limits, that makes her into a zona that she can no longer marry a kohen after she converts. That's Rashi's opinion. But that's only if she actually lived with a non-Jewish man. However, Tosos, Veharambam, Veharash, all hold afilo nivala, even if she never had relations with a Gentile in her Gentile years. Nevertheless, Asur LeKohen, and therefore they hold Afil Giyor Pchusim Megil Shanim. She will still be Asur LeKohen, even though she was Megayah when she was 2 years old. And the rest of her life, she lived as a Jew and she never was with any other man. The fact she was born from a non-Jewish, she, according to all these Rishonim, is off-limits. She has a din of a zona, v'tamam l'fisha ba'am min ha'akam hashtufim bezima. Fascinating. Even though she never did anything, not that she's anything wrong if she was with a guy, because she's allowed to be with a guy. She's a guy when she was a Gentile. But since she comes from goyish stock, hashtufim bezima, that has a din of a zona. That's a fascinating machlokas. And the Shulchan Aruch paskin like this latter opinion, that any woman who at any point in her life was Gentile, meaning she was born a Gentile, even if she was Megayer before she ever had Bia, before she could ever have Bia because she was Megayer when she was 2 years old, she will still have the status, according to these Rishonim, of a Zona. Rashi would say no, only if she was actually in her gentility, in her being a Gentile, was with a guy, that would make her a Zona, and this here Rashi is saying no. I'm sorry, the other Rishonim is saying no. The Rishonim is saying as long as she was with, as long as she was born a Gentile, she is considered a Zona. Okay, fine. Now, I want to raise, we finished the Shacharach, I want to raise an interesting Shaila. We just said that a woman who was born a goy is considered a zona. What happens if you have a girl, Jewish girl, married to a guy who's practically like a guy? We said let's say a Jewish girl is married to a Gentile. Again, a Jewish girl is not religious. She goes to a college campus. She's active in college, and she's with a Gentile in college. She becomes a balas tshuva. She cannot go out with any kohanim afterwards. That's clear. She was with a guy. That's an absolute zona. Let's say she was with a guy who's completely irreligious, who's a mechal Shabbos befarhesia, who is everything short of a guy. The only thing that makes him a Jew is the fact that his mother was Jewish. But everything about him is everything that he does is that which a guy would do. Would that make this woman also, the fact that she's with this Jew who is absolutely living a life antithetical to anything and everything Jewish, would that make this woman also into a zona? Or is it only the fact that she lived with Mamish a goy that makes her into a zona? So this is a tshuva that was questioned to the Chasam Sofer. Odos Almana Achas, she was an Almana of whom? Who was her husband, her first husband? Meha Porshimi Darchi Yisrael. L'chal Shabbos Befarhesia. And this guy, this first husband, you know, lo chiser lo klum. He didn't miss out on any avera. Every avera he committed. The only thing that he didn't do was he didn't assimilate. El shelo nitma ben hayishmaelim. The only thing that he wasn't was, you know, he was still Jewish. But every avera he could do, he did. You have this almana. She's, I don't know, she becomes Baal Tshuva, and now she wants to marry a guy, a Mr. Cohn or a Mr. Katz. V'nishtadcha almanuso, the almana of this terrible Jew, becomes engaged l'kohen to a Mr. Cohn. V'nistape karav hashol, and the Rav who's asking the Chas himself this question, ishar yaleh, is she allowed to marry her chasan the kohen? Tulai bilas ozev das post lakuna, because maybe the fact that this original husband was, you know, he went off the derech and he left Judaism. He was totally not. He left Judaism. Maybe that should make him like a guy or something like that. His machal shas for Hesia and all the other things of leaving Judaism. Maybe he should have a status of a guy and make his wife into a zona. Same way a guy makes his wife, makes a woman who has a beer with a guy, she turns into a zona. And maybe this person should be off limits from ever marrying a Kohen. Comes out, the Chasam Sofer concludes that what? That halacha lemaisa sharia lekohona. Since he was Jewish, and she was permitted to marry him, as low life as a person as he was. He was a mechal shas before Hesi, and he went off the derech, and he was completely secular, and did all that terrible affairs in the world. But since he was Jewish, she does not become a zona, and she is permitted to, of course, in the future, go ahead and marry a Kohen. Fine. That's the end of Sif Ches. We finished the status of Zona, of Grusha. Now we're going to talk about the next point. The next point is, what is going to be the halacha when a woman, we just said that if a woman lived with a man who's usher for her, that would make her a Zona, right? She lived with her brother, she lived with a mamzer. What happens if she didn't do it willingly? Let's say, God forbid, terrible, terrible, terrible. Let's say a girl was molested by her brother-in-law, by her brother, God forbid. Her brother, an older brother, molested his younger sister. She didn't want, you know, to be with him, God forbid. And he took advantage of his younger sister and was as ma'anisar. So ultimately, she was with her brother. That's one of the arayas that theoretically is the kind of avera that should make her into a zona. Well, will she be a zona if she was raped in such a case? All the other things, let's say a mamzer raped her. So if she married a mamzer, she lived with a mamzer willingly, that would make her into a zona. What if she was raped by a mamzer? Does that also make her into a zona? Will she also be off limits from a kohen? I mentioned the case, I think at the end of a week or two ago, the case in that happened in Gansakar, that I told you that this question came to a Shechter, where there's a possibility that a Gentile raped a woman. So we know that if a Jewish girl is with a Gentile man, so of course she has a halach, she will get a halach of a zona. What if she was raped? Does the rape has the same status of turning her into a zona or not? Let's see. So here, we're going to go to a Mishnah in Yevamis, Nun Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah is in Yevamis because it's talking about Yibam. The first part of the Mishnah will have nothing to do with our discussion. It's just going to talk about Yibam. And it's going to tell us a halacha that Yibam can occur regardless of the intentions of the parties involved. Yibam is nothing more than a bia. And when the Yibam occurs, regardless of anyone's intention, the Yibam will become official. Habal Yevimto. A person has bia with his Yevama. A Yavam has bia with his Yevama. Bein b'shogeg b'bemezid. Whether he thinks it's his wife or he doesn't realize who it is. Bein b'mezid, he doesn't intentionally. Bein b'onas, bein b'ratzon. He falls off a building right on top of his Yevama. Afilu hu shogeg v'hi mezida. Whether she knows who mezid v'hi shogeg, she doesn't know. Hu onas v'hi lo anus, v'hi anus v'hu lo anus. I don't care which one was forced, which one didn't know, which one didn't realize. One was drunk, the other was drunk, continues the Mishnah. Not only that, Yibam is also created, Echad HaMa'arev, Echad HaGomer, whether it was a complete Bia or only the beginnings of a Bia. Lo Chilek Ben Bia LeBia. In all these cases, the Yibam is valid, and this marriage is consummated, and we don't make any distinctions between what was the nature of the Bia, all cases of Bia, Hara, Gmarbia, Onas, Shogig, Mezid, all constitute a Yibam. That's the first half of the Mishnah, nothing to do with us. And now, the second half of the Mishnah is very much to do with us. V'chein, similarly, paskins the Mishnah, Haba al achas mikol ha'arayos shebatorah. Anybody who lives with any of their arayos, opsulos, or anyone else who's pasul, kagon, for example, almanu l'kohen gadol. Right? That's not even a lo sase. That's an ase. Grusha v'chalutz l'choin hedyot. That's a lo sase. Mamzeres v'nesina li'Yisrael. That's nothing to do with Kohanim. It's an Isser d'araisa. Bas Yisrael u'mamzer nasin. Pasla. That bia, whether it was on purpose or by mistake, shogeg or mezid, ones and ratzon, rape or not rape, he'ara or gmar bia, all of those different kinds of bias, all will make her pasul. V'lo chile concludes the Mishnah, bein bia lebia. And why will she become pasul? As Rashi explains, pasula lekuna mishem zona. Fine. So Rashi tells us that any type of bia that occurs will render this woman to be a zona, even if she was raped by this man who she's not allowed to be with. Rashi adds this point, which we learned a few minutes ago. V'davka arayos opsulos. The only type of bia that will make her pasul to ever marry a kohen in the future is if she was with an erva or somebody who's pasul like a mamzer or a tzedaka. Aval bias znus de pnuya. If a single girl had premarital relations, lo mashvi lazona v'lo pasul minakuna. That was a halach that we spoke out 5 minutes ago. Okay, based on what we just learned, we already finished all the background. Let's jump straight to the Shulchan Aruch of this Sif, of Sif Tes. Simen Vav Sif Tes, Kol HaNiveles, Shitla Adam Sha'osa Sazona. Any woman who had Bia, with any of the various men who would make her into a Zona, I don't care how that Bia happened. Bein Ba'ones, Bein Beratzon, Bein Beshogig. Oh, and now the Shulchan Aruch adds something that we didn't see in the Mishnah. Bein Kedarka, Bein Shalo Kedarka. Whether it was a Bia Kedarka or a Bia from the backside, which would be a bia shalok kedarka, misha heraba, the moment the hera, that there's a tchilas bia, nifsa misha mizona, she gets the status of a zona, as long as the Rabban paskins, as long as she's 3 years old. Uvilvad shetia bashlosh shon of yom echad, and as long as the boel is also roi labia. What's the definition of a boel who's roi labia? Via boel, benteisha shonim v'yom echad ulumala. Obviously, if a, God forbid, a woman was molested by her older brother when she was 2, or, conversely, a terrible situation, let's say a girl was molested when the boy who molested her was 8, so he's not roi labia, so that's not called a bia. Whether she's not roi labia because she's less than 3, or the boy is not roi labia because he's less than 9, in both of those circumstances, it's not called a bia. So we're only concerned once they are, of course, Ru'uyim Labia. Now this halacha, by the way, of Roy Labia, 3 and 9, you usually think it's not really halacha l'maisa, it's just a question of, are you going to give somebody malchus or misa? It's very halacha l'maisa when it comes to yichud, by the way. This is a little bit of a tangent. When it comes to halachas yichud, if a person wants to babysit a little, let's say, husband wife are going out for dinner. They call their brother, you know, she calls her brother, could you babysit the baby? The baby's 2 years old, a two-year-old girl. Could the uncle babysit? Could the uncle babysit? So if she, if the sister, the girl, is 1 year old or 2 years old, yes, the uncle could babysit. The brother-in-law could babysit. Once she's 3 years old, there's an iser, she's already, the baby is Ru'uy Labia, and it's a three-year-old. Like, this happens all the time. People don't realize. They ask their, you know, to watch their nephew, to watch their niece. People babysit their nephews and nieces all the time. They don't always realize that once the niece is 3 years old, the uncle can't babysit. Once, or let's say the baby is a boy. There's a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old boy. So the aunt could watch her, could babysit her 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old nephew. But once the nephew is 9 years old, the aunt is not allowed to babysit his, you know, her 9-year-old nephew because he's Ru'uy Labia and she's an older, you know, she's the aunt. She's not allowed to babysit a 9-year-old nephew. Of course, if there are other people around, it's a different story. If there are a bunch of kids, it might be a different story. But these halachas of Ru'uy Labia are very much hanogia l'maisa when it comes to defining the age limits of halachas yichud. Okay, now, what I want to do today, yes, sir. So if you have a teenage girl babysitting a boy, once the boy is 9 years old, that would be prohibited. Because once he's 9 years old, it would be his Ro'i Labia, and then you'd have to come onto a different kula in the Hilchas Yichud that would permit such a babysitting situation. For example, the door is open, the neighbors are coming in, they have no idea when the parents are coming back, but if a live stream video camera, I believe, would be acceptable. That does happen, yes. If you had a closed circuit TV in your house and the children, the babysitter and the one who is being watched are on the video and you, the parents, when they're going out for dinner, could be watching the live stream the whole time or whatever they wish, a live stream, not a recording, but a live stream closed circuit TV would be considered that other people are watching and that would be mutter. Yes. I had this, Shaila. Somebody had a law office in downtown Brooklyn, and they wanted to become more secure. So they were going to have the front door, I think during BLM, during the BLM riots, they wanted to have a little more security. So they had the front door of the law office was going to be locked. Who's inside? The lawyer, who's a Jewish Ephraim guy in the neighborhood, and the secretary. That's Liuchud, right? We're not talking about children or babysitting. We're talking about the lawyer with his paralegal, with his secretary. His front desk receptionist, so that's regular. And in order to get into the building, you have to buzz and be let in because of security. So that was the Shaila, and it happened to be that they did have a closed circuit TV. That I told him, make sure your wife has. I told the lawyer who lives in the neighborhood, make sure your wife has access to the closed circuit TV, and your father, and anybody who wants could always be, you know. There are always people watching. Maybe there's a security guard somewhere else who always could have access, real-time access. Again, not a recording. A recording is not sufficient. It has to be real-time access that other people are able to watch, and that would be permitted. Okay. Now, we're going to do 2 quick se'ifim, and then we'll finish for today. So we might finish a little bit earlier today. We mentioned that the case that I was talking about, that a woman was raped, let's say, God forbid, a woman is raped by a guy. So we say that she has a din of a zona, and she can't ever go ahead and marry a kohen. It's a very terrible situation. You can imagine, God forbid, a Jewish girl, before Shiduchim is raped, Rachman al Salam, by a guy. Now then, on her Shidduch resume, she's going to have, in little letters, by the way, please don't set me up with the Kohen, because go explain that one. Okay. Now, let's talk about what I think is a much worse, a much more terrible, terrible, terrible situation. And that is, one of the people, one of the situations that, who is usher to a Kohen, we said that the Arayos are usher to a Kohen. You know what one of the very terrible Arayos is? Eshesesh, adultery. That's a terrible one of the Arayos, but it is one of the Arayos, right? Let's say you have a woman who committed adultery, an adulteress. Is she allowed to marry a Kohen? Definitely not. She committed adultery, which is one of the Arayos, so an adulteress who committed adultery cannot marry a Kohen. Rabbo said, what about the following situation? Let's say you have a Kohen who's married to his wife, and she commits adultery while she's married to him. Well, na 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 na, goodbye, right? She's going to have to leave her husband. Well, that's nothing to do with a Kohen, really, because any woman who commits adultery is no longer allowed to be with her husband, because that's considered a sota. So that's not, you know, she brought it on her own. However, this is what we're going to talk about now, the following case. What happened if, God forbid, Rachman al-Islan Hashem Yishmar, Mrs. Cohn gets raped? Mrs. Cohn gets raped. She had not, she didn't want anything to do with anything. She was grabbed and she was raped. Rachman al-Islan Hashem Yishmar. So if a regular woman is raped, okay, so she didn't commit adultery. She's mutter to her husband. But didn't we learn just a minute ago that anyone who does arayos, one of the arayos, lo chilek, the Mishnah said, lo chilek ben bila bia. It doesn't matter whether it's shogegur, mezed, ones, or ratzon. So if you have an Ashes Kohen, Mrs. Cohn, who is raped, it's Arias. Doesn't she become a Zona in the middle of their marriage? And will she be able to stay married to her husband? Or will he have to divorce her? That's the Gemara in Yevamis, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Ashes Yisrael, Shene Ensa, and we're going to build on it. You have, let's say, a woman who's not married to a Kohen, regular Mrs. Israel. Mrs. Israel. She's a regular Jewish woman, she's married, and Rachman's son, she's raped. So she's allowed to be with her husband. If, let's say, her husband dies and she wants to get remarried to Mr. Cohn, no, because since she was involved with an erva, meaning Eshes Ish, in any way that that bia happened, even ones, beratzon, rape, whatever it is, she's psula lakona. Okay. V'tana tuna, and a braisa also says, v'chin habal achaz miklarayos hamuz b'torah, opsulos, any type of the arayos that happen, she will be usher to the kahuna. Now, by the way, how do we know that a woman who's raped while she's married, she's allowed to be with her husband? Because it says the pasuk by sota. Pasuk by sota says, v'hilonis pasa, if she wasn't grabbed, meaning she was involved willingly, then she's asura. And we make the diuk, as Rashi points out here. Honis pasa, but if she was grabbed and she was unus and she was raped, then she's mutaris. Okay, so that's going to be the halacha for a Eishes Yisrael. But the Shulchan Aruch applies that rule to an Eishes Kohen. Eishes Kohen shenivala. If you have an Eishes Kohen, Mrs. Cohen, and she was nivala, however it happened, whether it was willingly or not willingly, even if she was raped, I feel bonus. Asurulo. This is a terrible, these are one of the catastrophic, terrible, 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 terrible situations. You have a beautiful family, a dedicated wife, a loving husband, 12 wonderful, happy yeshiva kid children, a beautiful Jewish family, Rachmana Litzlan, she's raped, and she has to get divorced. She can no longer be with her husband. She's off limits to her, because she has a din of a zona. What do you mean she has a din of zara? What did she do wrong? She did absolutely nothing wrong. She just experienced one of the arayas, and the Mishnah Yevamis taught us that those arayas are lo chilek ben bila bia, and since she experienced one of the arayas, meaning Eishes Ish, didn't matter how it came about, and it didn't matter whose fault or if anyone was at fault, even if a guy fell off a 12-story building, a construction site, and it fell on top of her and had beer with her just by falling off a building, that would also make her off limits to a Kohen. Okay. And that is a terrible, terrible situation. And the Beis Shmuel points out, Gam Eishes Yisrael. This is what we saw already in the Shulchan Aruch, that let's say she was married to a Yisrael and she was raped, then she will not be able to marry a Kohen in a subsequent marriage. The Shulchan Aruch talked about what happens if while she's married to a Kohen, she got raped, she will no longer be able to stay married to a Kohen. That terrible, terrible, sad story. Okay, and finally, this is the last piece that we'll do today, and then we'll finish a bit early. The next Shulchan Aruch says the flip side of what we just learned a moment ago. Eishes Yisrael Shnansa, let's say you have a regular Jewish girl, Mrs. Israel, not Mrs. Cohen, but Mrs. Israel, God forbid, gets raped. Afal Pisha Mutaris Labayla, she's allowed to stay married to her husband, right? Because she's not a sota, it was done by mistake, it was done, she was raped. Nevertheless, Asru LeKuhuna, meaning if her husband dies and she wants to get remarried, she will not be able to marry a Kohen in the future. We'll finish with one very interesting and very sad Shaila. Let's say, you know, nowadays the concept of what we used to say, the ideas of learning about a siege. You learn about a siege about Yerushalayim, cities under siege. We don't understand what a city under siege is. Now with Mariupol in the Ukraine, we see the terror and horror of what it means to be besieged. So, in the olden days, there are stories, Pesukim in Tanakh, talk about a city under siege, and one beautiful woman decides that maybe she could seduce the attackers with her beauty and sacrifice herself in a certain sense and save her family and save her husband even and save the city by sacrificing her beauty to the attackers. So here the Be'er Heitiv was asked to Shaila, Shus Yaakov was asked to Shaila, Isha shehitzila es baila v'gam acherim ayidei shefkira atzim leznus. A very terrible situation. She says, I will allow myself, I'll give myself over to these men who are attacking, and that way they'll release my husband, my children, my the neighborhood, the city, because I'm offering myself to them. So let's think about that for a second. Is she interested in this illicit relationship? Of course not. She is no interest whatsoever. In a certain sense, she's an onus, but could you say that she's really being raped? She's not really being raped, she's offering herself. On the other hand, she's only doing it to save the lives of, you know, her community, her city, her family, her husband. Similar to both Hanukkah and Esther, somewhat similar to that. So she can be mutter to her husband. So yeah, I know it's a long arichus when it comes to Esther, kasher avadati, avadati. Halach l'maisa, what do we say? Pasak shus Yaakov, the shus Yaakov paskin. If the actual bia, she was actually raped during the act of bia, dim honos hu al habia atzma, heavy honos gomer mutas labayla. If l'maisa, when they took her, they raped her, okay, so she was raped, and she'll be permitted to go back to her husband. Masha enkin im him isratzit lebi'ila. V'ones acher hi. The onus was that they were attacking the city and threatening to kill the city. But that was she gave herself to the bia was willingly, and she, her involvement with the attackers was, the actual bia was willingly. The onus was not on the act of bia. The onus was on destroying the city. Then she's going to be Ne'aseres Lebaila. And look at this very last unusual line. V'nemsa mamish, in a regular case of rape, God forbid, pashut lahati, of course the woman is allowed to be with her non-Kohen husband, regular husband. Mikomakom, look at this. God forbid, if a woman is raped, says the Shus Yaakov, tzricha tvila, shalot tehe mu'usa alav. The woman, after God forbid she might be raped, she has to go to the mikvah, so she shouldn't be abominable to her husband. Fascinating. I don't know if that's a halachic psak, a hashgafic psak. I don't know what to make of that. But that is the psak of the Shvas Yaakov. We should be zocha not to have to deal with those kinds of shilas. We should be zocha to only healthy and happy kinds of shilas. We should be zocha to